listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Well, I did notice your, you said it was a typo on Twitter, didn't you? But I did see you alluding to the fact that I was a stinking Jules Serkin.
Yeah, I didn't mean that. That was autocorrect. Apparently, none of these technical things have actually got stonking as a word in their dictionary.
I know, because I've often written stonking and it's come up as stinking. So I did give you the benefit of the doubt.
I could have gone either way, really, with it. I could have gone with a stinking thing you got in the corner that's pumping eucalyptus mist all over Terry and me.
Yeah, this morning, today, I mean, it is 1 p.m, we have a little mix of, we've got the dew, which is the sanitising, gets rid of, it's 99.99.5%.
What's that, Brobat?
Effective of killing bacteria, viruses, fungi, and spores.
You can use Jay's fluid.
Oh no, I wouldn't use that. It reminds me of the '70s. Paul Andrews, this morning I have a little mix with that because I don't just have that; it's a bit boring. I have a little mix of eucalyptus with a little dash of lime. And you said you could waft it all down the corridor.
Well, you could smell it for miles around the building. Yeah.
Well,
everybody's complaining. They go, "What's that smell?"
We are in a very small room without air, and I feel it's my duty of care to make
Terry and me choke.
To make the studio more alluring.
Yeah.
And so there we are. And of course, Tezza has come in talking about Tenterden today, Chamber.
I believe.
So Terry Thorpe has come in, and he's a proud member, you know, Paul Andrews.
Proud member of Tenterden District Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a badge to prove it.
He has. Mm. And it's supporting, of course, local SMEs and local businesses and the high street and all the things that we love. Mm. And so we would love, while we're loving, and we're loving everybody, because, of course, it was Valentine's yesterday, we would love to hear your SME stories. We would love to hear how you're getting on. Spring is out. My daffodils are out in the garden and my snowdrops all at the same time.
Blimey.
We'd love to hear. Just use the BBunker hashtag and tweet at VanillaWeb at Jules Serkin and we will give you a shout. And we'd like to hear your good news and your bad news. And maybe if you've got any job vacancies, jobs in Kent would like to hear about it.
There's plenty of job vacancies.
1.2 million.
There's 1.2 million of them.
And a bit, I think.
Mind you, we now got 29.5 million people in employment as well.
Well, that's brilliant. That's positive.
Yeah. Some people in the press, because you know how bad the press are, because they don't check anything.
No.
Some people this morning were crowing about it being a record, which it isn't.
Were they cockerels?
I don't know what they are, but they're wrong.
I was going to ask you, how was your Valentine's?
It was lovely. Amanda and I went for a meal in Headcorn at the fantastic Krishna restaurant, which is an Indian restaurant, but it's an Indian restaurant with a difference. It's all home-cooked food.
How delicious.
And it was absolutely stunning. Tamarind sauce. I've not had that.
I love tamarind sauce.
Tamarind sauce. I had four pots of that.
Is that quite a little bit of bitterness into
it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
It's like licorice.
Well, you know, you have a licorice thing.
I had to have six poppadoms just to...
And,
soak it up.
Well, we have a Indian food at home quite a lot. We go to get the chai stop, which you've had at my house quite a while ago. And we always do our own poppadoms, and I chop up all the onion and that and do it with yogurt and stuff, organic yogurt, of course. But I can eat quite easily six poppadoms.
Yeah.
That's sort of my favourite part of the meal in a way. And then you can't stop, can you, once you start?
I do long at all to pick it. We had a
pick a mix.
Well, no, we did. We had a tapas starter menu for the two of us. And they also, They had a Valentine's set menu as well, which had a range of mixed starters. And one of the starters sounded really brilliant, but we wanted the other one. Mm. And we were talking about it at the table. And then the chap that was serving us served us our food. And then he went, I bought you this as well. So he bought us some of those. And they were deep fried, frittered beetroot and aloo. and they were heart-shaped, which was lovely.
Oh, that is so sweet. And what, one each?
Did you have one each.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah. Well, it was fantastic, yeah.
As you asked, my new husband and I, we had
Yeah,
we had our Valentine's. We decided to have it on Friday, as you do.
Well, typically you do it on a different day to everyone else, yeah.
We, because, you know, we thought if we go out, it'll all be crowded and everybody will be, then you're sort of looking across the table at each other and it was all a bit too much pressure for me sometimes. Right. You know, we've been together a long time, me and your husband, so...
you and your new husband have been together a long time.
Yeah, we decided to have a Valentine's sort of extravaganza weekend.
Right.
So we had Friday off from about lunchtime and we drove with the Darcy Greyhound to, because she comes everywhere with us now, to Broadstairs where we parked. And then I walked with my new husband and Darcy Greyhound along the beautiful scenic beach to Ramsgate, which is a really nice, highly recommend the walk, Terry Thorpe, if you're listening with your dog, KCK9. And you can find KCK9. He has his own Twitter handle, which he does with his own paw, apparently. So we walked along and then we ended up about 3 o'clock at the Little Ships with the lovely chef Craig Mather. And as we sat there, I met a lovely Egyptian lady whose son had just started, because of lockdown, he'd left Bahrain, where they live, and started at St. Lawrence College, where I used to do the PR. You see, right, I used to do Dover College, Lawrence College, St. Christopher's.
That's in Ramsgate, isn't it?
And Laurendon. Yeah. Yeah, and Kent College, of course. So in my heyday, when I used to get up very early, I used to do all these private schools. So we had a long chat, and I spoke Arabic for a couple of hours. Lovely.
Oh, lovely.
And we now have new friends who live in Bahrain, and we've been invited to Bahrain.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so when it's raining and inclement here, I
And I'm loath to ask, but you arrived at the Little Ships at 3 p.m.
Oh, what time did I leave?
What time did you leave? Come on.
Well, about nine.
Really?
No, it was, wasn't bad.
That's not bad for lunch.
Well, my new husband was dispatched to, as I was on my mulled wine after a bottle of wine, and then I decided to have a tea and Maria and my coffee and things. Yeah. So he was dispatched to stagger back to Broadstairs to get the car because he didn't think at 9 p.m. after a full lunch I was in any way capable of walking along the beach in my gum boots back. But they didn't have Tia Maria. They had some other thing called Kaluga or Kalua or I don't know. Somebody listening will know. So I popped out my coffee and it was very nice.
Good.
I had hake.
Did you?
Very nice hake.
It's quite chunky, isn't it, hake?
Yeah, it's a good... I actually buy it most weeks from the Good Shed of a Tuesday.
Right.
And we just pan fry it. It's a good fish. I like hake. And I also had, of course, Craig Mather's famous roasted cauliflower, which he does with all sorts of spices. So then on Saturday, my new husband did the duck legs that I'd ordered. Remember them?
Yeah, yeah.
And did you see he did them in a little shape of a heart?
Aww.
He did. And I did, I copied Craig Mather's roasted baked cauliflower.
Right.
With ras el hanout and yogurt on it. I can see your face. Ras el hanout. He's Googling it now, Terry.
No. I'm still struggling with heart-shaped duck legs myself.
It's the way you walk.
Yeah.
And who might our sponsor be this week?
This week the show is pleased to be sponsored by Telford's Accountants, award-winning chartered zero accountants based in Kent. So a huge thank you to them for sponsoring this week's show.
Of course, they are my accountants.
They are recommended
by you.
They are my accountants too.
Yeah, I think my new husband is sending Telford's a tax thingy, Bob, that he just said a tax something. He told me this morning to
tax
tell
return.
Them. No, not a return. We've done all that. It was a tax something. I'll have to text him. I can't remember. He said it as I was cooking egg and bacon, and I don't really listen to him.
I got a new tax code during the week.
What was it?
It was a K code again, because I don't know. And they really come it as well. I had to read it three times because they don't tell you why they've arrived at it. You have to go onto your online gateway thing to find out how they arrived at what they're sending you. And even though I went in there and had a look at it all, it still didn't make sense to me.
I tend to leave it all to Mark Telford and his lovely team. Mm. As you know, I'm not very keen on figures and things or anything really techie.
Cool. Anyway.
We'd love to hear from you.
We'd love to hear from you. I know it's half term, so a lot of you are kind of busy taking the children out and stuff like that.
Yeah, I got here in about 25 minutes this morning.
Did you?
Yeah, because of half term.
Right.
A lot of people having staycations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Scotland's very, very popular. My neighbour's just gone off to Scotland with her two offspring.
Mm-hmm. Wales not popular though. You're not allowed in Wales at the moment.
Still?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Are they still covering up things in supermarkets?
You know, oh, it's madness,
like
isn't
books
it?
Books and things.
It's not as mad as Canada.
Well,
I mean, they've gone full East German, haven't they?
Tell me what they're doing.
At the moment, Trudeau last night has declared martial law. He's frozen the personal bank accounts of everybody in the blockade.
You can't do
that. He's removed their, he's cancelled their truck insurance. And he's revoked their driving licences.
I know that he... I mean, that's...
Fascist, yeah, that's yeah, right. That's the word you're looking for.
I didn't want to say it, really, because you get a bit funny if I say things like that. But there was a state of emergency declared, I think, at the beginning of the week, or at the end of the week last week. It's bonkers.
The really stupid thing about this is last week he was claiming they were a bunch of fringe lunatics. And now he's had to declare martial law. I mean, how do you balance those two extremes? That's
ridiculous.
You can't
stop people. Well, I also saw in Italy, apparently, they are, if you're over 50 and you're not getting vaccinated, they are not allowing you to work.
Yeah.
Which is, again, it's just criminal.
It's scary. There's a lot of things going on in this world that are very scary at the moment in terms of what a lot of Western governments are up to. And my own personal opinion is it's got nothing to do with the pandemic. It's a means of control.
Well, I read that there's only 440 people on ventilators in the whole of the UK, which, you know, I think...
I didn't think it was that many.
Well, that was a week ago, but it was Daily Mail. You never know the Daily Mail. It was my mother's. I don't buy it myself. Just to underline that fact. You know, people get pneumonia, people get flu. Mm. Nobody's got flu, have they, really, anymore? Mm. I'm amazed that children get flu jabs. Yeah. My kids never had flu jabs and they've never had flu. So.
We live in very scary times, and I'm not talking about Russia and Ukraine, which is just another bunch of nonsense. Mm. I see, actually, this morning that the Russians have pulled back some of their troops this morning.
Yeah, very diplomatic of them.
Yeah, well, you know, they've got Europe by the short and curlies, isn't it? You know, we're all posturing around going, you know, do what we say. And the Russians are in total control because they own all of the bloody gas that everybody in Europe's using to heat their homes. And don't even get me started on that.
Well, I'm very glad I've got a pile of logs.
I've got my energy bill.
Has it gone up?
And this is before the price rise, 900 quid for last month.
What are you doing? There's only three of you. What are you doing? How many baths a day do you have?
Oh, well, it's mostly electric. It's like
You turn it all off?
It's like Blackpool Illuminations in our house. I'll walk around going, turn the lights off, turn the lights off.
You know what we've got? In the new husband's bathroom, people kept leaving that one on because it's downstairs. Yeah. We've got one that goes on like you have in a hotel. It clicks on and clicks off. But then when our guests come, they go in there and then they go, how do you turn the light off? Mm. You know, and I say you don't, it just goes off.
But what about this? I'm not fibbing, I can produce evidence to back this up. Right?
I thought you were going to say you can produce methane.
No, I can produce evidence, right, to back this up.
Right.
I spoke to my energy provider yesterday, which is M&S, yeah?
Yeah.
And I said, you've just sent me this bill. And they said, yeah, not only that, you actually owe us another $2,000, yeah?
This is ridiculous.
And I went, really? And they went, yeah, because... You know, what you've been paying each month isn't paying off your bill. Really? Okay. And I said, but that's outrageous. And they said, well, we can do you a deal where we will fix the price for the next 12 months. I'm like, fantastic. So what happens then? He said, well, if you sign up for this today, we fix the price for 12 months. And no matter what happens to the gas and electric prices, it doesn't affect you anymore. I went, brilliant. How much? Go on, how much for 12 months?
Well, you're on 900 now, are you? Mm-hmm. So, come on, Terry, what do you reckon? 1,000.
Go on, Terry.
10,000.
You're laughing at him, yeah?
Yeah.
12,000.
You're joking.
I'm not.
What do they know that we...
£12,000 they wanted to sign up for a fixed contract for 12 months.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's more than you're spending, so it doesn't make sense.
£12,000 they wanted.
Oh my goodness.
But what I'm spending at the moment is before the 54% rise in prices.
Yeah. We're with Utility Warehouse and have been for quite a long time. I was going to be a rep for them once, but I couldn't be bothered. But we've stayed with them and my mum's with them and a few friends of ours. But Martin Lewis is a good person. Have you looked at his stuff?
But the problem that Martin had is that a while ago he was saying, don't move. Whatever you do, don't move. And then, of course, it's the government that are at fault here. The government are the ones that are driving the prices up and removing the cap and all the rest of the nonsense that they've come up with.
The thing that I find is that we've got three floors, as you know, and it's all on different levels. We've got two different boilers and all that. But if the kids come for the weekend, then obviously I have to gallop up and turn their rads on, especially if the north wind's blowing. But then when they're going, and I have to then run up and turn them off. So I quite like a smart house where you can just do it all from your phone.
You can do that. Funnily enough, I have the same issue because I've got a 3-4-story house as well, and my third floor's empty.
So you have to gallop about.
Yeah, well, no. The boiler people, I've just had a new boiler, and the boiler people saying, they said all your radiators are on upstairs. On the third floor.
Oh.
And I went, oh, okay. And they said, you ought to turn them off, or at least turn them down, because you're just heating nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah? That's what I
so
do.
I did. I turned them all off.
I could have told you that.
Yeah, but hold on. But then the problem was, the next floor down got incredibly cold, because it was the heat's rising trying to heat the floor above.
I know the solution to that. Why don't you move to the top floor?
Yeah, okay.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? And very good for your exercise regime.
Yeah.
Trotting up and down.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Do tweet us. Anyway, we've gone off on a bit of a rant, but do tweet us. We'd love to hear.
That's unusual, isn't it? That's not like us at all.
Basically, I can't wait for the news because Terry Thorpe has brought in some beautiful Patterson's shortbread. And you know shortbread is my one weakness.
Yeah.
He has also got some muffins over there.
He has. He's really spoiled us this week.
I know. Yeah. And they're from Tenderden, I'm assuming.
Right.
I'm amazed the dog didn't get them first. My dog steals everything, Terry. Traders fear a hike in car parking charges. Here we go.
Not Canterbury by any chance.
You put this here to annoy me, haven't you?
Yeah.
Could destroy the city's retail sector by pushing people to shop online and elsewhere. Prices are to rise by 25% to £3.50 an hour. I'm thinking about your bill, you see. At the city's most popular Watling Street and Quenningate car parks. Canterbury City Council say the additional revenue from parking, which makes up more than a quarter of the authority's income, will help plug its £5 million deficit. But shop owners say the move could prove completely counterproductive. It's madness.
It's
surely,
bonkers.
Surely they've got brains.
They haven't. They're politicians. They haven't got any brain.
Well, did you see my tweet? I took my mother to Canterbury and had a meeting there and dropped her off at acupuncture. And it was really dismal.
Is that a new store?
What?
Acupuncture.
Yeah, it is actually. It's Stour Street, just near Fruitworks. Mm. And did you see my tweet about how dismal it was? There were homeless people just living in the freezing streets. They've pitched tents now in doorways. Loads and loads of empty shops, boarded up. The only really nice glow of hope was Fruitworks. It looked lovely. It was buzzing. And I didn't have time to get the bacon butty.
You should have done.
Would they do it in a bit of sweet potato for me?
Well, it's on sourdough toast.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Well, I can. I mean, I'm not supposed to, you see. Yeah. But, you know, I do go off the
Coming back to this car parking thing, this is the problem, you know. We had that conversation with the leader of Canterbury Council. When he was saying, you know,
Ben.
We're going broke and the only income we get is from car parking. But the problem is, it's like so many things that the government do. They don't look at reality. They go, if we put the car parking up, then we will make X amount more. What they never figure is the amount of people that stop parking there, so they don't make X amount more. They actually end up making X amount less.
Yeah, because the rates, people won't be there
to pay rates.
Because people
go, do you know what, I'm not going to park there at all now.
Exactly.
You know, so it's all taxation of any kind, and car parking prices are a tax, yeah. Taxation of any kind has an optimum level over which people stop doing it, so you earn less. And if you undercharge, then you don't make enough money. So it's about finding the right level. But at the moment, they're doing enormous damage to the economy of the city with this policy.
It's already struggling.
Yeah, because the city was already struggling anyway from a business point of view, and it's just the final straw that makes a lot of businesses go, do you know what, it's just not worth struggling on.
Yeah, I know. I mean, for me, there's no reason for me to go to Canterbury really anymore.
Yeah. And not pay 14 quid to park.
It's crazy. And also, it takes away the joy, because if you go and have lunch or you stop and natter to someone in a shop, you're thinking, oh, my car park, my car park. Mm. And I've said to loads of people, they said, do you want to come for a coffee? And I go, oh, I'm already over, you know, 5 hours. Mm. Let's go somewhere else, you know, where you're not looking at a meter all the time.
Yeah. And Mikey yesterday was telling me they went to...
Margate.
Yeah, no, what's the big shopping centre? Westcross.
Oh, yeah.
He said, you drive in there, you park, doesn't cost you anything to park, and it's like a mini town.
Yeah. You've got everything you need.
You've got everything you need. A lot of it's undercover. Why would you go to Canterbury or, you know, anywhere else when you can go there?
I know. And we've lost a lot of the nice little individual shops that I used to love. Yeah. There was a really nice, you know where Angels is on that cobbledy bit? I always forget where the fish and chip shop is. There was a really nice card shop. So where Hotel Chocolat is, or Hotel Chocolate, depending on how you say it, there was a little card and gift shop there, and it had really nice gifts and beautiful cards. Gone. Mm. So why am I going to Canterbury? Mm. Sometimes I have a breakfast meeting at Bill's, but... Mm. You know, that's about it, really, because they do a very nice Eggs Benedict.
Do they?
Yeah.
That's your breakfast du jour, isn't it, Eggs Benedict?
Mark Telfer will tell you, look, my business meetings, it's always got an Eggs Benedict on it.
HMRC been on. Yeah. Okay. Do you know what?
Tunage?
I think we should play some cheesy tunage, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. And this is, it isn't the one that I first picked. Funnily enough, the song that I first picked, we didn't have on the database for some bizarre reason.
Is it alluding to our first guest?
It is alluding to our first guest, Andreas, who's got an app for mental health.
Yeah. This sounds fascinating. And he's a doctor?
He's a doctor and a psychiatrist,
Is it doctor-doctor?
Well, no, he's a psychiatrist, so he doesn't use the term doctor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's he use?
Mister.
Okay. So he's a consultant.
Yeah.
Is he Greek? Of Greek?
No. Wait.
Andreas, I want to know about him.
Well, you will when he's on.
Does he tell you if he's Greek? Greek heritage?
When he's on, you'll find out.
Has he got a Roman nose and dark curly hair?
Grief.
I have a penchant for a Roman nose, I have to tell you. If there's a little hook on the nose, I'm there. Yeah. And dark curly hair.
What can you do with that?
Does he like to...
Anyway, can I play this track?
Olives?
Can I play this track?
Go on then.
You've got to guess what it is. It's really easy.
Somebody with Miracle. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tom, this is the boys.
That's your voice, yeah.
Maybe I didn't hurt you. You were always on my mind. Oh, I think you did there. Very clever. Not having my fish.
Little things I should have said and done.
Always on my mind. Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah, I love that. Love that.
Look, I caught up earlier in the week with this gentleman, and I have to say, this blew me away talking about this. It's Andreas Fonseca of Thrive Therapeutic Software,
which isn't
easy,
so well.
Which isn't easy to say.
With the horse's teeth.
Why don't we hear what he had to say? Because this is a fantastic and insightful interview. So let's hear what Andreas had to say.
Yeah, and if he's Greek.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time, Andreas Fonseca. Andreas is the co-founder and CEO of Thrive. I can't say it. Thrive. It's not easy to say that. Thrive.
It's not.
Yeah, therapeutic software.
You got it.
Yeah, there's a lot of fuzz in there. Sorry about that, Andreas. Welcome to the show. Why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit about you, and then we'll talk about the business and all the things that you're involved in.
Yeah, no, thank you. My background is I trained to become a consultant psychiatrist. Obviously went through the normal medical training. So I became a doctor, and then I decided to specialize, and I specialized in psychiatry. And it was early on after I became a consultant that I got interested in developing my own kind of thing, my own kind of service.
Right.
So that's when it started. It came from a little bit of a frustration where when I was working in the NHS, everything was good. But whenever I wanted to, for example, develop a new service, there were a lot of bureaucratic barriers. So I had two things that I wanted to do in that first year. One was had a very rural catchment area for my patients. And I wanted to have like a satellite clinics with all the GP surgery so that the patients wouldn't have to travel all the way to the hospital, right?
Yeah.
So you would imagine that sounds simple enough. Okay, well, I tried for about a year to set it up, and I just couldn't get it. I think I managed to have one clinic once.
Right.
But there were constant problems with things like how to take the notes from one place to another, whether there were any rooms available, things like that, like little small frustrations, which, you know, is blindingly obvious that it's better for the patient to do it this way. But it was like very difficult to organize. And the other one is I had an interest in young onset dementia, you know, so people with cognitive problems, but that started quite, you know, quite young. And that was my other idea. I had a few referrals from the local GPs. And that caught my eye, and there didn't seem to be a service. And I thought, well, I'm interested in this. I want to create a service. Guess what happened?
Yeah.
Again, I couldn't get it going.
I'm smiling while you're saying that, not because I'm not sympathetic, but I worked as a management consultant in the NHS 20 years ago, and it hasn't got any better than it was then, and it was terrible then. To try and do anything new was unbelievable.
It's very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a minefield.
It is a bit. So anyway, that's when I decided that I wanted to do my own thing. I spent a few years creating services for the NHS in the independent sector.
Yeah.
And that was great, but it was mostly to do with, you know, the model was, we'll buy a building and we'll create a service.
Yeah.
And then we will offer that to NHS patients.
Yeah.
And that's great because, I mean, you had more freedom in that. The NHS will commission you to provide a service, but they wouldn't tell you how to do it.
Sure.
So long as you produce good results.
Right.
You know, they were happy to leave you alone to sort of just do it in, organize it in the way you like. So that was great. But unfortunately, we couldn't offer like large scale services in the community. And my co-founder and I, that's when I met Adam Huxley, who's a consultant clinical psychologist. And I was the medical director there. And he was the clinical director. So we worked together, like developing these services together, you know, particularly the clinical model, those kinds of things. And we had this frustration about being able to sort of do much more than what we were doing. Perhaps we were looking after the most severe end of the spectrum, if you know what I mean. But we thought that there was an opportunity to offer community services that would do like three things before you ever needed those more intensive services. We wanted to do prevention, obviously.
Yep.
We wanted to do early detection, and we wanted to do self-management,
okay.
But then provide a good link with therapy services pretty much immediately, so that they, one of our ideas was to eliminate, to try and eliminate waiting lists,
right,
and also not rely on people to seek help. Because as you probably know, when you're talking about mental health, a lot of people can be quite reluctant to seek help at the beginning. So it was about making that very easy for, yeah, for people. So that was our original idea. Mm. And we tried to do it, working for the company that we were working for. But it was like, not, they were not interested.
Yeah.
They felt that their model was, let's buy a building, let's put some beds in there, and let's have patients coming in and residing at these
right, okay,
institutions, rather than focus on this community problem. So we left to start Thrive, and we started with just purely with the technology. So we felt that there was an opportunity to adapt a lot of the techniques that we knew were effective, right, so that were clinically proven to improve people's mental health, to do things like reduce the symptoms of, say, depression and anxiety, stress, and those kinds of conditions.
Could you just give me one example of one of those therapies that you highlight there?
Yeah, so the main therapeutic technique that we use in our service today is cognitive behavioral therapy. It's the one that has the most evidence,
yeah,
behind it. It can be used in a range of different settings with some adaptations.
Yeah.
So people may have heard of something like exposure therapy, which is a version of CBT, of cognitive behavioral therapy,
yeah,
that you use when people have a phobia, for example.
Sure.
Or other formats, it might be CBT for insomnia. Some people might have come across this idea. So you adapt it to the specific needs of the individual, and it's proven to be the most effective approach. But right, beyond that, we have other techniques like, I don't know if you're aware, but the National Institute for Clinical Excellence, here in the UK, is a government organization that recognizes what is the best treatment for a given condition, right?
Sure.
So,
yeah,
and they make recommendations around that. What is proven to have the most effect? Obviously, cognitive behavioral therapy is one of those recognized treatments,
yeah,
for,
yeah,
these conditions that we're talking about. But in the case of anxiety, there's another technique that is also achieved that level.
Right.
Which is applied relaxation, and that's why applied relaxation is also included,
right,
in our service, in our app. Yeah.
Right.
So that's what we did there. So we started with the digital component, because we felt that was the easiest thing to do. Mm. So it started back in 2012. So only about 50% of us had mobile phones, smartphones back then, if you can think back to that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we felt that there was an opportunity there. There was a very good democratic way of bringing these services to people, mm, in their own terms, in their own hands. So we started there, and we did a few studies. I'm an honorary lecturer at UCL. So we did a couple of collaborations there to sort of prove the efficacy of these methods. And then we evolved to provide the therapy online, which is a lot of what we do today is about that. So when you encounter the service, just to give you an idea of what it looks like from the point of view of the person receiving the service, you may come to us because you're stressed, you have a problem, you may suffer from, say, insomnia, for example, like we were saying,
sure,
before.
Yeah.
There's some kind of an issue, yeah?
Yeah.
So you go into the app, you get, the first thing that happens is you have an assessment to detect whether there's any of these conditions present, and once we establish that, then we will give you a list of recommendations within the app for you to follow.
And that happens all within the app, yeah?
That all happens within the app.
Yep.
And the next thing that happens is, let's imagine that you do screen positive for something like depression or anxiety.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting for you to make contact with our therapists, the approach that we take is that we actually reach out to you,
right,
and say,
okay.
So one of our therapists reaches out and says, I've noticed that you've got these concerns, and I'm here if you want to talk.
Right.
Just to be able to break that ice, which sometimes is quite difficult. That's quite unique about us, the fact that we proactively contact people instead of waiting for people to sort of contact us.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time people don't know that they could benefit from therapy. They might They might agree that they have some stress, some kind of a problem, but they might think it's not enough for me to, like, quote unquote, bother a therapist.
Yeah, of course. So,
you see what I mean? So so that's kind of what it looks like from them. And obviously, when they accept that invite, then we do an assessment, and then they may go on to receive therapy if that is the best approach for them, or they may be working through the various modules that we have in the app with the support of one of these therapists that kind of helps them and becomes like their coach. Mm-hmm. So when you go to the gym, you know, we know that you know that you need to do exercise, but if you have a physical trainer, you know, somebody that you're working with, you're much more likely to finish and do it. That's kind of the idea, that you have somebody that you're kind of accountable to, so that you're actually able to sort of engage with it. Absolutely. That's kind of what we do. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I mean, it sounds amazing. And you're right. I have a little bit of exposure to this. I'm a trustee of a charity, which is a residential home for people with drink and drug addictions.
Right, yes.
And of course, we come across lots of mental health issues in that as well. And one of the things, there's two elements to it, as you quite rightly pointed out. A lot of people think it's not them, it's us. I don't have a problem, it's you. and also, when people do recognise they have a problem, they don't think it's severe enough to bother anybody with.
That tends to be.
Yeah, and that's a big one. And they go, I'll be fine.
I'll pull through, or you know those kinds of things. And then sometimes they leave it very late.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and then that's when those are the services that I was telling you about. You know, unfortunately, you may require something that is quite intensive that even takes you away from your own home.
Right.
You have to sort of be placed in hospital or something like that. Cool. So the whole idea is to try and avoid those kinds of situations where things, if you leave them long, you know, for long enough, they become a crisis. You know, you could get into a crisis point. Yes,
absolutely. If we come right back I'm loath to use this kind of word, but people that don't have major problems but are suffering a little bit, you know, especially at the moment with all that's gone on for the last couple of years, a lot of people are having panic attacks, anxiety, stress. You know, and after today's announcement about gas bills, there's going to be a lot more as well. You know, for those kind of people, it does the app provide them some immediate relief? You know, can it help them with that?
That's absolutely. So the majority of the people that use the app are in that bracket that you're describing.
Okay.
So they may have, they may be, as I said, they may be experiencing stress. They may be worried about paying their bills, for example. Yeah. That's actually one of the most frequent concerns that we come across.
Yeah.
They may have trouble at work, for example. They may just be struggling a little bit, and then they come into the app, and that's when they have that initial contact with a therapist, and you know that gives them some guidance. And as I said, it might be mild enough that they can learn some techniques to empower themselves to cope with the situation better, or it might be that they actually need a little bit more support from our therapy team, and then they engage in more traditional, like there's an appointment. Obviously, this all happens online, so you make an appointment with your therapist, and it's usually either. So some people prefer to do it by chat, you know, by text.
Yeah,
that's more comfortable to them, and some people prefer the phone, and some people prefer video.
Yeah.
So we do all three, and actually about 50% of the people that use it have reasonably mild problems, like you're describing, and actually prefer just to have it as text, because it's quite private. They don't need to explain to anybody what they're doing. It's not a phone call. Nobody can overhear them. So it makes them quite private for them. They're just having a session via text with a therapist on their phone that nobody needs to know about. And actually, because we work with companies, so what we do is we work with any size of company. So we have large companies that work with us, such as, for example, Ericsson or Santander, or, you know, we even sort of work with insurers, big insurers like Aviva and that sort of people. But we also have very, very small companies as well for only a reduced number of employees. And we're able to sort of provide scale those services in whichever way they want. But for the individual worker, is the things that concern them that we take into account when they come into the app, And yeah, I mean, it can be small, it can be big, it can be yeah, anything. Sure. Yeah,
absolutely. This may be a bit of a daft question. Is the app available publicly, or is it a special thing that you have to do to get the app?
So you can download it, absolutely, but you will not be able to access the service unless you have a code. And the code is usually provided because, you know, we work with these organizations that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So the code will be provided by the organization.
Right. Okay. Right?
So for example, if you work for a small company, say, and you have our product, you will have a special code for right. only the employees of that company.
Right.
And that will give you access to tailored services that take into account who you work for. You know, for example, if this company has all the services or the well-being services of all the sorts, we will signpost to them as well. So we configure the app so that when you go into it, you have access to everything that your employer might provide. Yeah.
Right. Yep.
And that's why the code is important, to make sure that we have the right services.
Yep. Got it.
That you can access, you know, as an individual. So we work with our clients who are, you know, companies of any size, to tailor that. You know, what is the best thing to put in front of individuals that you already offer? So they might not even be aware of it.
Yeah.
They might just come to the app and then they realize that they have these other benefits.
Yeah.
And they only realize it through the configuration in the app. And also our therapist will be aware of these things. So right. even if you don't look at it, the therapist can signpost you some of those things that the company offers. Anyway, that's why we configure it via a code. But we also work with charities and
right.
and we work with the NHS, for example. We provide these services to NHS employees.
Right.
And again, we tailor it specifically to that kind of environment and their needs.
Right.
Working with our partners directly, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I as the owner of a small to medium-sized business myself, and this radio show, most of our listeners are small business owners. It's something that we all struggle with as business owners. We have a duty of care to our employees.
Yes.
And you know, we have, most of us have just a handful of employees at best, and mm-hmm. and none of us are really capable of assessing anything like this. You know, you run a small plumbing business, you're normally a plumber. And
yes, absolutely.
And you know, people come into work and you think, wow, you know, they don't look happy. But it's really difficult as an owner of a small business to know what to do about that, even when you recognize it. Because I'm not qualified to go, you know, are you all right? Are you mentally ill? Or, you know, so what I can see by having an app like this, mm-hmm. it takes a lot of that away, because
it does.
You know, you can say, look, you have access to this app. If you ever feel you need help, and you probably don't now, but if you ever do at any time, here it is. Here's the code. Just feel free to go in and use it. And I really like that. I think that is a massive benefit, not just to people using the app, but to business owners as well, because it means we can help our employees, but we can help them professionally, you know, rather than just going, you know, well pull yourself together. Yeah.
No, I mean, but we do a little bit more than that as well. So for example, say that you're the business owner,
yeah,
and you have somebody that you're concerned at work, and maybe they are a little bit reluctant to seek help themselves, and you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You can actually talk to our therapist,
right,
and
okay.
say, I am the manager,
yeah.
and I'm concerned about an employee.
Yeah.
What is the best way to approach this? Mm. And we can support you.
Wow.
We can
okay.
Help you through that difficult situation to get that person some help.
Right.
So if you're not sure of what to do and how to handle it, we can do that. And also we offer training courses for managers to be able to sort of have those difficult conversations.
Right.
In addition to this service that I've described, this is something else that we do. Mm. For example, we're now doing a big training program with Ericsson, with all the managers all around the world.
Right.
So to actually teach them to have those conversations, because they felt that they wanted to do it. It's exactly what you were saying, but they were ill-equipped to do it, or they didn't know how to do it. So yes, I'm talking about, you know, that's a big international company, but we can also do it, you know, with very small companies.
Right.
We've done it with companies with, I don't know, 20 employees.
Right.
And actually that's, I would say that's even more effective, because pre-COVID, we used to get them all in a room,
right,
with it and actually get all the employees to download the app. So they have it in their phone. They may not use it only when they need it. That's fine. But at least they have it, right? And yeah. they know that that is there for them. And they also, you know, having those groups, apart from doing the teaching about, you know, how to have these conversations and how to take the best advantage of our service as well, it was about sort of, you know, make sure that the employee knows that they this is separate from the company. They yeah. can trust it. And it's not going to go back to their manager, you know.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Because do you see what I mean? So when we do a report for a company, it's in aggregate. So I say, I don't know, in your company of maybe 100 people, say, X percentage are struggling with depression, X percentage may be struggling with anxiety. Mm-hmm. These many people have used our service. These many people have recovered. That's the kind of information that the business owner okay. will get. But we're never going to tell the business owner it was like Jim from accounting that was yeah, struggling. Sure. You know, yeah. it's very that's completely private to, right. to the individual. Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. I think it's absolutely amazing. And I'm full of admiration for what you've done there, Andreas. And to me, it sounds like a brilliant tool to use in business and for general mental health. So all yeah. power to you for that. Thank you so much for spending the time talking to us about it.
Thank you.
If people want to find out more about your business, can they come to your website and find
yes,
out?
Yes, they can visit our website, absolutely. And, you know, it's a little bit unusual, but it's Thrive, just Thrive, the word Thrive, .uk.com.
Right.
So it's not the, you know, because people
yeah,
think
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
it's,
yeah, yeah.
it's .uk.com, so it's Thrive. .uk.com.
Yeah. Okay, we'll put a link to that on the radio website so that people can find
it. Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. Andreas, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. And for the moment, Andreas Fonseca of Thrive Therapeutical Software. Thank you so much.
There we go. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Locke Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
Welcome back. That was Andreas Fonseca of Thrive Therapeutic Software.
I've been practicing that slowly.
There's a lot of thus in there.
Yeah, without your horse teeth.
But what a fascinating interview. What a fascinating yeah. product. Just amazing stuff. Really interesting stuff. So thank you for that, Andreas, and it was a real pleasure to hear from you. And I'm sure we're going to get lots of feedback on that from people that have
I know
been listening
that Tacy 64, the lovely Tracy Ferguson of Plucky's World owner, she is excited to hear that interview. She's going to listen back later. She said on the Twitter, and we've had a tweet from Chips and Dinks, and they say, "We love the Business Bunker Show," and they very diligently use the BBunker hashtag. Happy memories of featuring on the show with the lovely Amanda Flanders and the Chic Stylist a few years back. That is a long time ago because the Chic Stylist moved, didn't she?
Yeah, absolutely.
She was going to sort my wardrobe out and then she ran off.
Ah. I don't blame her. She probably heard about your wardrobe.
Yeah, with Billy Dean.
Yeah.
A few years back. So we were made to feel so welcome supporting our small business and getting our name out there and on the map. Have another great show, they say, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin. And that's Chips and Dinks. You'll find them on Chips and Dinks. That's what it says. They repair chips, dents, scratches and scuffs to hard surfaces inside buildings or on vehicles to an exceptionally high standard. You can email them, Tony at chipsanddinks.co.uk. And their website is chipsanddinks.co.uk. And they've got a new alloy wheel thingy-bobby.
Yeah, which I'm very alloy wheel protector.
Which I'm very interested in.
Which you need big time.
Some of those curbs in Herne Bay,
they jump out at you,
they're
don't
odd.
They?
Yeah. They are odd. And, so, you know, I've got quite a low car. And sometimes I practically have to crawl out, you know, on my hands and knees, especially when you've got a bottle of Prosecco in your hand, I find.
You've got a convertible, though, can't you? Just get out the roof.
I could do, yeah, yeah. Depends if you've got something in the boot. You have to move the boot spacer and
all that. Okay. Paragon Drones, they say, good morning, because they sent this a while back. We'd love a mention today, please. Mental health is more important now than ever, and we're really looking forward to the Andreas interview, and bring on the cheesy tunes. Well, I hope you liked it, folks, at Paragon Drones. So, but thank you.
And Martin Reeves is Collector's Buddy. He's the founder of Collector's Buddy, Hidden Disabilities and Mental Health. He is based in Ashford. You can find him on collectorsbuddy.org.uk. And he says, yes, please, B Bunker. Looking forward to listening to your guest, Andreas, again, speaking about mental health. What is Andreas's Twitter handle?
It's Thrive App UK.
I'd just like you to say it.
Yeah, Thrive App UK.
Brilliant. And you mentioned Paragon Drones, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Did you read Tracy's Tracy Ferguson's tweet?
I said what she said. I ad-libbed it.
What, the one that says this sounds interesting?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I kind of ad-libbed it, so you can read it.
So you made up your own version,
yeah,
didn't you?
You can read it in your own way, if you like.
I Trust Assurance have asked for a Business Monkey shout-out as well. So consider yourself shouted out. I Trust Assurance. People behind the Speak Out app.
Yeah. And to read Tracy's, she said, it sounds really interesting, especially the app. I can't be with you live today, but we'll look forward to catching up with the replay in the next few days. Have a brilliant Bee Bunker show, everyone. And she's done a lovely GIF of somebody saying, can we turn the radio on now in the car with a mum? So I said it exactly as she wrote it, really.
Right.
So we've said Paragon Drones, and Intune PR is saying that the lovely Zeenat Noorani will be interested in listening to our guest. Of course he will. That's Thrive Apps UK, Andreas Fonseca. Maybe he's Italian.
I don't know.
Did he have a Roman nose?
No, I don't know. No, he didn't. Martin Reeve said, epic cheesy tunage on the bunker.
It was a good song.
It was, yeah. And Casey Canine has been on. How about a shout out for a lovesick greyhound left at home alone by the humans?
Well, I've been learning how to stuff a Kong.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah. Well, because my rescue hound, Darcy Greyhound, doesn't like being left alone very much. So we've got an abundance of Kongs in every corner of the house.
An abundance of what?
Kongs.
What's a Kong?
Terry, come on, tell him what a Kong is. They're usually red, aren't they, for some reason?
A device for putting treats in to give a challenge to your greyhound to help pass the time.
Or any dog.
So
you stuff it with little treats.
Right. And what is it exactly? Describe
it's
a Kong.
It's a big red rubber thing.
Right.
With a hole in one end. And you poke all your little treats in it, like bits of cheese or bits of sausage or biscuits and things.
Right, okay.
And then you give it and it rolls around on the floor like a ball. It's sort of cone-shaped.
Right.
And it's supposed to give your dog hours of endless fun while you leave it, because dogs don't like being left.
Yeah.
My dog seems to get... It only lasts about 30 seconds and she's gobbled the whole lot.
Right.
So I was asking plaintively on Twitter, is there some sort of secret that other dog owners know about Kongs?
Yeah.
And they have got them, because actually I think Chips and Dinks or Athelbury or one of them, I'll find it in a minute, said you can actually freeze some treats. So you can put stuff and put peanut butter, gob it in the end and seal it and then freeze it. So it's got a seal. So that takes longer.
Hold on. Where does the seal come in?
See what you did there.
Yeah. Does it clap? Does it clap when the dog finished the
Don't
Kong?
Talk about that, because they're talking about HIV, aren't they, all the time now with after this immune system thing. We can't talk about that on air. Mm. There have been some really good ideas about stuffing a Kong. You can also get licky mats.
You're making this up. You two are making this up.
Well, no wonder
just
your
to fool me.
No wonder your dog hides under the bed if it never gets a Kong or a licky mat.
You're just making it up. These things, don't they? I'm going to go home tonight and say to Amanda, we need to buy the dog a Kong. And she's going to, what are you talking about? They've still been winding you up again.
Licky mats, yeah. Ask. I think we've seen quite a few on Twitter. It is half term, but do keep tweeting us. We do social media. I've got a free event. We do love a free event on Bunker. So it's Thursday the 24th of February. Oh, I'm going out with Debbie Green.
Are you?
For luncheon. And it's also Josh Robson's birthday that day, so I should be celebrating.
All right.
But there's a free event on Thursday the 24th of Feb, 11 to 1. And it's a 1 hour round, hang on, that's 2 hours, isn't it? Never mind. They say it's a 1 hour round table discussion. Ali, Graham, and Martin will be sharing their top tips for showing your personality into your online content. Book your free space now. You can go, and there's a long link tree thing. So it'll be on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Look on there and you'll find the link. But it's Thursday, 24th of February. But I would like to ask him, if it's 11 to 1, that must be 2 hours.
But the round table might only be an hour. They might be doing something else in the other hour.
Yeah, they could be tap dancing.
Yeah, they could.
You never know.
Or they could all be, I don't know, chasing a Kong around the room or something.
Or a licky mat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Business Awards 2022. Applications are now open for the Ashford, Canterbury, Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells Business Awards. Each of those areas have the following categories in them. Customer service, innovation, startup, that's for a maximum three-year-old company, small business, businesswoman of the year, best family business, or the best construction business. If you'd like to find out more about the awards or nominate your company or indeed any other company, www.businessawardskent.co.uk.
I'm talking about nut butter at the moment, sorry, on Twitter. Sustainability made easy for SMEs podcast. I was going to say codpast then.
A codcast.
I am excited. Who's excited? Let's see. It's Jade Consultancy. You can find them on jadeconsultancy.co.uk. But she says she's excited to announce her podcast's launch, Sustainability Made Easy for SMEs. And the podcast gives business owners practical sustainability ideas and actions that they can implement into their businesses. In each episode, you'll hear tips from sustainable platforms and businesses that can help your company on its sustainability journey. And you'll also hear some success stories from business owners that have already started to see the benefits from putting sustainable actions into place. So is this going to be on our channel? So you can follow Jade. That's Jade Pluck. She's the founder of Jade Consultancy. Find her on LinkedIn. And also she is, as I said, on jadeconsultancy.co.uk. But episode one is Jenny Bailey, is the co-founder and author of Tales from Mother Earth. She's written two books, Phoebe the Bee and Spike the Hedgehog. And these books reconnect children with the natural world through realistic storytelling and music. So that sounds really, really interesting. And if you'd like to feature in a future episode, do get in touch with Jade. Jade at jadeconsultancy.co.uk.
Fantastic.
And listen out to Channel Radio.
Absolutely. Digi East, can we have a shout out for a vehicle supplier suffering with the VARS fees increased by the regulators? Everything's going up. Absolutely everything at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, give Digi East a follow on Twitter. Digi East number one is their Twitter handle. And very good they are too. They're going to provide my new car. Right, we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we've got another...